This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Colonel Craig Roberts, retired now from the military, but he, of course, worked with the police for many years in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's written a fascinating book, which we carry, The Medusa File, Kill Zone. It's the story of what happened at Dealey Plaza. We carry another book that he's associated with, going into what really happened in the Sudan. But we're going to be talking today about really a lot of things that are going on today. Craig, thank you so very much for being with us.
I'm always glad to be back, Dr. Stan.
Well, tell us, you know, what your take is on the things that are going on today.
Well, you know, there's so many things that are happening so fast. It's incredible. And that opens a whole ballpark full of questions and areas to explore. It's like going into a big building and there's all these hallways with all these doors. It's like, where do you start? We've got the elections going on, which we both know is a sham, and you know, it doesn't really matter. It's like they said, it doesn't matter. Stalin said, it doesn't matter who votes; it matters who counts the vote. you know, we know that in local elections quite well, and at the national level, it's no different.
But of course, really, there's not a dime's worth of difference between the policies of George Bush and John Kerry. I mean, the conservative Christians say, well, Bush is pro-life, but he hasn't done anything to save any children's lives. In fact, he signed the partial birth abortion bill that legalized Roe versus Wade forever, and he takes money away from one UN agency and he gives it to another UN agency. He takes us into UNESCO, which is strongly pro-abortion. He's massively increased the amount of money for population control from $380 under the billion dollars a year under the wicked Bill Clinton to $480 million, but of course it's not going to be spent for population for abortion. They assure us that. The biggest spending that we've ever had. Now we're in a war, and of course we went to war because Saddam Hussein is a wicked man, but we got a lot of wicked men. Nobody ever mentions that his father, George Herbert Walker Bush, was instrumental in financing Saddam Hussein all during the 1980s. So, you know, if Saddam is wicked, maybe we ought to go after the people who kept him in power and financed him. We never do.
You know, what's interesting, if you look at Kerry and you look at Bush, you see, basically, energetic socialism versus Fabian socialism. The UN is dedicated to both. You go in the UN building, of course, Fabian is one of their great heroes and gods in the UN building. You can find his portrait here and there and even in a stained glass window. And what the listeners need to understand what the difference is between an activist socialist or energetic socialist versus a Fabian socialist. Kerry is one, like all the rest of the far lefties in Congress, Kennedy and Boxer and Feinstein and all the rest of them, that they will move as fast as they can. They'll ask for as much as possible. They'll tell you one thing and do another. They reach as far out as they can and grab a hold of something, and they whine if they don't get it. And if the right side of the aisle compromises with them, they get half. And that's what they want, because they're going to ask for the rest later anyway. Where the Fabian socialists, they move slow and they legislate their way through things, and they do it very slowly. They feel around ahead to see what the water temperature is, and then they'll move a little bit. And if they run into resistance, it's kind of like an inchworm. They'll move off to one side and kind of move around it, and they'll maneuver their way here and there. So what you've got right now is you've got Bush, who basically is following the Fabian socialist strategy. And you've got Kerry, who's the energetic socialist. So the bottom line is they're both New World Order guys, and they both want this one global happy planet. And it's just how they want to divide it up and who's in charge.
And they both are in favor, of course, socialism. They're both dedicated to globalism and shipping our jobs overseas. They're both in favor of illegal immigration and making them legal. But we never talk about those issues. In fact, neither one of the candidates even mentions what happened on 9-1-1. Bush, because he's afraid to, and Kerry, because he doesn't want to embarrass Bush.
Well, you know, I worked on the Oklahoma City bombing case for years. We tied the whole thing up. We found out how it was tied into Al-Qaeda through the Philippines and to Osama bin Laden and the whole bit. We know the names of people that need to be picked up and questioned if not put in jail. There's enough evidence out there to take them all to court on the case. But you can't give this case away. You can't take it to the U.S. prosecutor. You can't take it to the U.S. attorney. You can't take it to the Justice Department in this administration any more than you could take it to the Justice Department in the Clinton administration. They don't want it because where it goes is it goes right back to the same crew that was involved in the Iran-Contra scenario. That's the one common denominator of the whole thing that crops up all through history since the 1980s. And that's the drug running and cocaine running out of Colombia that both the Bush administration and the Clinton administration was involved in. I'm talking about the first Bush, Herbert Walker. When he was vice president under Reagan, they had the entire Iran-Contra affair. You had all the drug running, all the money laundering. You had 13 banks that were set up around the country, around the world, to launder the funds, the Nugenhand banking complex, which when it was discovered, it just disappeared overnight and a different one replaced it. Finally, BCCI replaced that one, and every time you catch up with these guys, it just disappears and the money goes someplace else. But what we also ran into was the same crew when Bush Sr. was vice president, was financing Saddam Hussein. The money came and went through drugs, it went through international arms shipment, it's in narco-terrorism, it's all the same crew. So you got Saddam Hussein on one side over there getting money. You've got the Iranians getting money. You've got the Israelis getting money. You've got all these players in the CIA getting money.
Don't forget about Arafat. We finance him too.
Oh, absolutely. And go every petty dictator around you can't have a solution if you don't have a problem. So you got to help these guys out. And I think that's where we saw the thing going. Well, when we started finding out about some of these things, and some of them started surfacing, such as the MENA investigation, which would involve Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton and Webb Hubble and all the rest of those people in the Iran-Contra affair, all of a sudden that stuff gets disappears when Clinton goes to Washington as president and the records disappear, all the investigation records disappear.
Hold that thought for just a minute when we bring our stations back on board here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this afternoon is Colonel Craig Roberts, who retired from the military, retired from the Tulsa Police Force. He's now a gentleman, a farmer, or I don't know what he is, but he keeps awful busy there on his home. But he's kind enough to come on and, of course, talk with us. He's done a lot of work on the Oklahoma City bombing, on so many of these issues. One of the most knowledgeable people in America. So go ahead and pick up the story here. Craig was simply talking about when they tracked down the story of the Oklahoma City bombing, it led right back to Washington, D.C., the fact that they knew the attack was coming, they knew who John Doe 2 and 3 and 4 were, that they were tied into these people who had been bought from Iraq following the first Gulf War, and the government refused to do anything about it. There was a direct tie to Terry Nichols, who was overworking in the Philippines with agents of Al-Qaeda, learning how to build a bomb. And he was actually had meetings with Ramzi Yousef and Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and Murad. So why don't they want to bring this out? Well, for some reason or other, this is the last thing in the world that the administration wants to bring out. When, of course, Timothy McVeigh's attorney, Stephen Jones, tried to bring this out at the trial there in Denver. When Timothy McVeigh was on trial, the judge wouldn't allow it to be brought out because they can't let the American people know that there was a direct relationship of Terry Nichols and Timothy McVeigh to Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. Pick up the story.
Well, that's just it. When we found out, over a period of time, that all of these things were going on, and we couldn't get rid of the evidence fast enough to suit the federal government. It was like this isn't where they wanted to go. They got their marching orders for the right wing. You know, it was okay, we're going to divert this whole investigation. On day three, they decided that they were going to go after the militias, anybody on the Christian right wing, anybody that would take it as far right as they could away from who it was really involved, including, of course, the as you mentioned, the 3,500 to 5,000 Iraqi POWs that were brought into this country and scattered all over the place that immediately gravitated into 10 and 12 man terrorist cells. And they're still here today.
And, of course, there was several of the people in Oklahoma City cell that were involved with Timothy McVeigh.
Correct. We had eyewitnesses. We had photographs that were picked out by the eyewitnesses. Said, that's the guy I saw on the corner. That's the guy I saw in front of the building. That's the guy I saw that was in the truck with McVeigh. We had all this stuff. And not one of them, Stan, not one of them was ever picked up by the FBI and questioned, even when we handed it to them on a silver platter.
Well, I understood the FBI didn't want to accept any of the evidence.
Well, they wouldn't, and they wouldn't accept it later when Janet Davis handed even more to them with sworn affidavits, people that would testify in court, they would even take it. Now, 20 years ago, they would have jumped all over that with enthusiasm, but they didn't do it this time. They didn't want to see it. Didn't want to touch it. They want to slam the door in her face and say, go away, don't bother us with that stuff. We don't want to see it.
But this wasn't really the local agents. They were told what to do. They weren't allowed to pursue the investigation. This was all really handled from Washington, D.C., that seemed to have a different agenda, and the one thing was not to let the American people know about Al-Qaeda back in 1996.
Well, it's just like TW-800. We know the airplane was shot down. The question is, who shot it down? You know, we've got a toss-up between the USS Normandy, who the FBI says, well, we counted all the missiles and they were all there. You know, and we know that the FBI can't tell the truth. It just doesn't happen anymore. You know, you can't pin them down on anything. And then we have the shoulder-fired missile scenario, because we've got people on, you know, over 200 eyewitnesses, including military pilots who knew what missiles looked like. It saw a missile come up from the shore, a missile come up from out at sea, and both of them hit the airplane up in the clouds, and then it came down in two pieces. You know, cockpit fell off right in front of the leading edge of the wings where the bulkhead broke, and then the rest of the wreckage came down a little farther along. We know this happened, but they had to make it a center fuel tank explosion that's never happened before or since, because they didn't want any Middle Eastern ties. The Clinton administration, in 8 years, never really pursued any Middle Eastern ties and didn't want to hear them on anything, because some of those groups were actually financed by the United States government and had been for years.
And, of course, the amazing thing, if anybody's read that book by Richard Miniter, Losing Bin Laden, there were 11 separate occasions when they could have taken Osama bin Laden out. Even Bill Clinton, as terrible as he was, had ordered the intelligence agencies to do it, and they refused to do it. And then when we went to war with Afghanistan, they wouldn't let al-Qaeda go after bin Laden. Anybody who doubts that, we've got a wonderful article out of the Washington Times, where a high official said, our policy is not to get Osama bin Laden in this war. Our policy is not Osama bin Laden first, it's Osama bin Laden last. After all, if we got Osama bin Laden, how would we justify this war in Afghanistan? If you want to see that article, we'll be glad to send it to you. You see, it's all phony, ladies and gentlemen. It's as phony as a $3 bill, because we didn't really go after Osama bin Laden. The whole war was to justify going after Iraq. Pick up the story there, Craig.
Well, I think that's one step. There was three things that had to occur in the Middle East. Well, actually, four. The first one was we had to own the Persian Gulf. That happened after the first Gulf War. We've kept a fleet there ever since. Once we owned the Persian Gulf, the second thing, part B of the first thing was make sure that Pakistan was on our side, because we needed some land base area along the Afghani border. The second thing was to take Afghanistan. We managed to do that in 30 days. The Russians couldn't do it in eight years. Once we got Afghanistan, of course, then it was Iraq. Well, what that did is that if you look at the map, that you'll see that Iran is completely surrounded now by territory with our troops in it. And so therefore, Iran would obviously be the next choice. Now we're starting to see the media jump up and down and start talking about Iran and about the radicals and about the Chinese are giving them missiles and the North Koreans are giving them nuclear this and that and so on. What we're seeing is we call it the threat buildup. Once we get the threat buildup to a certain point, we're going to say, okay, folks, we don't have a choice now. We've got to go into Iran and stop these guys. Even today on the news, they said that Hussein may not have had all the weapons of mass destruction that we thought he did, but what he did is he wanted everybody to believe him, and especially the Iranians. He feared the Iranians just like we used to fear the Soviet Union, And so, therefore, he would go out and have exercises in chemical suits to make them think he had a lot of chemicals and so on. Now, we also get the media that's jumping up and down now saying, starting to feed us bits and pieces about how the younger generation, the more modern generation of the Iranian people, want the old regime out now. They want the Islamic fundamentalists out, and they want us to come in so they can start wearing Western clothes and driving nice cars and so on. They're tired of being held down by the fundamentalists. So that means that they're completely surrounded, and that they want us to come, and it's a simple matter of mind preparation of the American people before we march into this place. Now, why do we want Iran? Really, there's not that much there except one thing.
Oil.
There's oil, but there's also a way to run a pipeline now from Siberia and from the Caucasus and from the Ukraine and all of that down through Afghanistan, through Iran to the Persian Gulf. We would own the real estate to run that pipeline, or however many pipelines they want to build now, because we've already got the northern half secured, Afghanistan.
Well, you know, it's so amazing as you see them come out with article after article after article. In fact, there have been several articles in the last few weeks about how Iran is preparing to attack the United States or attack American forces, and Iran is saying they have a right to a preemptive attack on America. Does anybody in the audience really believe the Iranians are that stupid that they're threatening to attack the United States? This is all being put out in propaganda to justify our coming to war with Iran.
Well, there's two things that also is a little bit frightening right now. We've got all these terrorist cells in this country that since 9/11 really haven't done anything, but we've had the government saying it's not if but when. They've got weapons of mass destruction. We've been told that there are suitcase nukes all over the country that were left by the Russians that these guys have bought. The southwest border's wide open, and they're coming across more all the time. I talked to a friend of mine who retired out of the army here a couple of years ago, and he retired at Fort Huachuca down on the Arizona Mexico border, and he now works for one of the volunteer border patrol units down there. And he said that they came across a house out in the desert that was being used as a rest house or a staging point on the Arizona side, that when they went inside to look for illegal immigrants, somebody had just left. But they had Middle Eastern prayer rugs, copies of the Quran, backpacks with maps and notes in it, and diaries and all this sort of stuff. These guys had come across through Mexico, and they were surprised in Arizona, and they were young men of military age, because they even outran these guys out into the desert. So that stuff's happening. We don't know how long it's been happening, but it's still happening, and they're paying a lot of money to come in through Mexico because the border's not secured. Now, we go to Washington, and we scream and yell, and we say, "How come we can't secure our own border?" And they won't even talk about it. They don't tell us why they can't do it. They might come out and say, "Well, we've hired so many border patrol agents, or we got so many people working," but they're not stopping anything. We could stop that down there very easily. If we can secure Baghdad, we could secure the southwestern border if we got the troops home. The problem is we don't have any troops left. We sent all of our troops overseas, and now we're pulling the pools out of the reserves and the National Guard. We're burning everybody out. And they're having a heck of a recruiting problem, and we start hearing these rumors about the draft and so on. The Clinton administration's mission was to destroy the American military, reduce its morale, and reduce its capability. The Bush administration's is to take what's left, deploy it overseas, and wear it out. Wear out the equipment, wear out the troops, and wear out the reserve and the guard, to where we basically have no defense left here at home.
And I think they know exactly what they're doing. I think they're following a very, very carefully conceived plan. I believe this war in Iran with Iraq was planned at least a decade ago, if not much longer than that. In fact, I really think it was probably planned back in 1979 when we toppled the Shah of Iran intentionally and destroyed a friend and brought an enemy power, but is one of the best enemies we could possibly have.
Yeah, exactly. And it's getting interesting because now, while we're doing all this, the news media isn't saying a single word about the Chinese who've been building up equipment, logistics, and supplies all around us. They've got Freeport in the Bahamas. I mean, anybody wants to get on the Internet, type in COSCO, COSCO for China Ocean Shipping Company, or Hutchinson Whampoa, Freeport, Bahamas, and just look at those pictures. That stuff's been sitting there. It's stacked up. It's like their Diego Garcia forward deployment base.
You have to ask yourself why. None of this makes sense unless there's another agenda. We'll be back here in just a moment with Craig Roberts here at Radio Liberty.
except genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something, they might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this afternoon is Colonel Craig Roberts. And remember, we carry his book, The Medusa File, and his book, Killzone. If you haven't read those books, you really need to get them. They'll give you tremendous insight into what's going on in the world today. We'll pick up the story, Craig.
Well, you know, we're looking at the southwest border, and then we're looking at the Chinese, and we've got Freeport in the Bahamas where these sea lift containers are being stacked up all over the place. A lot of them have been there for a long time. We don't know what's in it. We know the Chinese tried to smuggle a large quantity of arms into Southern California several years ago. We don't know how many shipments got through. We know we only caught one. They did the same thing in San Diego. They had several sea lift containers or Connex boxes of some type stacked up behind a warehouse that were accidentally stumbled into. And we were given the excuse later that there was a small company over there that was, or armed smugglers that were trying to sell guns to the Crips and the Bloods and that sort of nonsense. You know, what are the Crips and the Bloods going to do with rocket launchers and landmines and machine guns? Then, you know, the Chinese tried to get Long Beach as a port, and the people there fought against that. And then they tried to get an Air Force base in Southern California that was closed down as a place to land aircraft and set up an airhead there. We know that they've landed all kinds of military equipment in Veracruz, allegedly to re-equip the Mexican army for its operations down in Chiapas province. We know that they've tried to sneak in stuff through Florida, Brownsville, or down on the coast of Texas, and up on the northeast coast. And we don't know what they've done in Canada. We've had rumors of stuff in Vancouver. I haven't personally seen anything that's concrete on the Canadian end, but I've had some Canadians tell me that they've heard the same thing up there, that there were young Chinese males of military age, and they were immigrating in and trying to sneak across the border.
Well, you know, of course, we know that they're buying some very large mining properties up in Canada. We know that they have their troops in Haiti. They were there, of course, to help keep the peace. So certainly they are positioning themselves all around the United States. And it's almost as if the people in Washington, D.C. were just oblivious to everything going on today. Why, the Chinese are our friends, aren't they? Right now, today, we are totally dependent upon the Chinese communists for the stability of our currency. If they and the Japanese quit buying our debt, why, we have to inflate and destroy the value of the dollar. That's where we are today. And what are we doing? Why, we're increasing our spending, so we need more money to borrow from our good friends, the Chinese communists, who hate us and will do anything they can, along with Al-Qaeda, to destroy us.
Oh, it gets worse. We've got generals in the Pentagon who say that China's our friend now. They're our ally now. They don't mention Taiwan. They don't mention the Republic of China. They talk about Red China being this great friend of ours. And the Chinese are sitting there at the same identical time telling us they've built missiles that will hit our West Coast, and they won't hesitate to use them if we try to interfere in them taking Taiwan back. We've got North Korea being reinforced with Chinese equipment. For what? They're supposed to be these great friends of ours. How come they're doing everything they can to fight against us?
But, Craig, remember the North Korean missile technology that allows them to fire very accurate weapons came from Communist China, and Communist China got that weapons technology from the United States. Now, why has nobody ever been tried for treason for that? Why? I do not believe for one minute that Bill Clinton gave that technology for $100,000 or $200,000 in campaign contributions. I think if you believe that, you're incredibly naive. It looks to me like we're creating, once again, as we did with Adolf Hitler, as we did with Japan before the Second World War, the best enemy that money could buy.
Well, I think you're right, because, you know, you had Los Alamos involved in this deal. You had various players throughout the Pentagon and the military structure that allowed it to go away or allowed them to get by with this. We found about it after the fact. Not one person in Congress, other than doing a little whining and complaining, did a thing. I mean, they have a few investigations. They issue a report, then they go on down the road and forget about it. No one got arrested. No one was brought to trial. No charges were filed. But see, what you've got is you've got a government that's morphed into what we have today, in which the president appoints the attorney general, appoints the director of the FBI, and the director of Central Intelligence. So therefore, who's gonna go arrest the president when all of the investigative services are run by his office? You had Janet Reno, you had Louis Freeh, and they weren't about to do anything. You couldn't even get an answer out of them.
Yeah, I know, but when they were out of office, they were susceptible to prosecution. And the trouble is, the Bush administration did nothing. In fact, they left all of those terrible executive orders that Bill Clinton had passed in place. And, of course, as far as the stings he stole from the White House, they said, well, let's just put that behind us. Why did the Bush administration leave so many of the Clinton appointees in positions of power in the bureaucracy? Or maybe we really don't have a two-party system like we imagine, we are creating the best enemies money could buy all throughout the world. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Hi, my name is Michael Anthony Perugia, and I approved of this ad. I'm seeking the presidential nomination of the Constitution Party, and one of the reasons I'm running is to put the interest of American workers first, which President Bush is not doing. Mr. Bush has advocated an immigration plan that would let millions of illegal aliens stay in our country, and the chairman of his Council of Economic Advisors has praised what is called outsourcing, which will send millions of American jobs overseas. In other words, Mr. Bush is importing illegal cheap labor and exporting good-paying jobs that should stay in America. Well, this makes no sense. Such policies are outrageous at a time when so many Americans are looking for jobs and want to work. The sad fact is that neither the Republicans nor the Democrats are looking out for American workers first. As president, I would put our people first. I hope you'll look at my webpage, Perutka2004.com, that's P-E-R-O-U-T-K-A-2004.com, and remember, you never waste your vote when you vote for what's right.
Authorized and paid for by Perutka 2004.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Colonel Roberts, Craig Roberts, and we have Fred calling in from Philadelphia. Fred, did you have a question?
Well, I kind of tuned in a little bit too late for that, but I want to say that you have a unique program. I want to tell all the listeners to support it. I do, and I just was wondering, did you have a big change in times and frequency for this? I don't get you in Philadelphia anymore.
Are you speaking now on shortwave or what?
Yeah, shortwave.
Well, they changed our frequencies. Now this hour you can hear us on 9.430, and of course you can pick us up in the evenings in Philadelphia from 11 to 1 on 7.315 or 7.515. And if you have a problem, you just give us a call and we'll get those frequencies for you. And then they're going to change them for the winter very soon, but you can get us right now at those frequencies. Okay.
Is it live though, the later time in Philadelphia?
Yes, it's live.
Well, I do think that the conventional was, as far as all this geopolitical wisdom that we're getting, I think that the conventional wisdom is really wrong, and I applaud your guest.
All right. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Fred, and keep listening and tell your friends. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Okay, fine. Well, Craig, go pick right up where you were.
Well, I really appreciate those kind of calls. It takes kind of a load off my back, doesn't it?
Right. Well, you know, a lot of people out there really do appreciate what you have to say on our program.
Well, you know, Stan, you know, I've done a lot of radio, and it's gratifying when you have callers, because you know there are people out there listening. I know when I was doing my national radio show out of Denver several years ago, I did 3 hours a day, and unless I got a call, I didn't know if, you know, if I was even transmitting. You just don't know. So it's really good to hear you all call in, and feel free to. I'll be glad to answer any questions you've got if I can. I think what we're going to see now is there's going to be something happen again, because they've been prepping us for it. I just did a seminar last weekend up in Topeka on terrorism and surviving terrorist attacks and so on. And we know that, you know, they talk about these nukes, and I outlined a scenario. What would happen? You know, we said 9/11, something like that would never happen. We could envision somebody crashing airplanes into buildings, but what would happen if they set off a mini nuke, you know, some just pick a city, doesn't matter what it is, let's say Omaha, and then the very next day, Miami, and the next one, Chicago, and the next day, Los Angeles, and the next day, Dallas, and in other words, you wouldn't know what to do. You wouldn't know where to go to. It would be such an absolute panic. And they wouldn't even have to be there. They can set these things off with cell phones now. And we know the stuff's here. We know the Spetsnaz had it. And we know that the Russians would sell anything to anybody. All it would take is somebody to push the green light button and have this thing happen. Now, our troops are all overseas. Who would they call to come in and police us, to help out with our peacekeeping, relocation of the populations into all of this real estate that FEMA's been buying for relocation camps?
Well, I think that we've got those nice Chinese troops over there in Haiti they're helping. Maybe they'd come over from Haiti to help us.
Well, they probably have several already in Mexico that would all they'd have to do is truck them across the border, and then you've probably got a lot of Russians that would be glad to come over and help us. After all, we've been training them at Fort Polk for the last 10 years to operate all of our equipment.
Well, you know, this incredible, you know, you wonder how can the American people be so naive not to understand that somebody's pulling the strings behind the scenes. We're financing the Chinese communists. We've taken them from a third world nation to a first world nation. We're actually there beginning to become the dominant force in Asia. Russia, of course, communism doesn't work. The collapse of communism was as phony as a $3 bill. And we've kept them going. Right now, our corporations are going in there and pouring in literally billions of dollars to keep Russia from imploding from within. But thanks to American help, as it's always been, going right back to 1917, we've got the greatest enemy money could buy, because how would you get the people to rally behind the government and pay all their taxes if we didn't have those enemies all throughout the world threatening our freedom?
It's always going to be something. It's always going to be one someplace. But what I'm afraid of now is we are in a position where the American public has become very vulnerable. We have very little security inside this country that really counts. Oh, yeah, you can go to the airport, and they'll pick out 80-year-old ladies and search them and let guys with turbans get on the airplane. We see this every day. I mean, I personally get searched every single time I fly.
You must be on that same list.
Well, yeah, and I'll check on a Craig Roberts or William Roberts or something like that, and no matter how I do it, they always pull me out. And they said, well, it's just a random check. I said, well, why don't you randomly pick that guy over there that's getting on that looks like he's an Arab terrorist, you know? Oh, we can't do that because that's profiling.
I mean, this is the most ridiculous thing in the world. You know, why are they going after the law-abiding citizens? And they passed a rule of restriction. You can't search more than two Muslim people getting on a plane. Well, if we wanted to hijack the plane, we'd put 10 Muslim people. We know that 8 of them would get through, because it would be a fine, terrible fine and punishment for any airline that would check on more than two Muslims at a time. If they were really involved with a war on terrorism, why would they have such a stupid rule?
Well, and on top of this, what would it take for 20 Islamic terrorists to charter an airplane? You know, say, we're going to charter an airplane from, Birmingham to Las Vegas, and then take the plane from there and just go wherever they want to. They put so many people through our flight schools over the last 15 or 20 years. They don't have a shortage of pilots. I don't know where they come up with this. They had to train these guys how to fly flight simulators. They got pilots all over the place. I personally was in aviation for all those years flying, and I would be up in the police helicopter over Tulsa, and I would hear all these Middle Eastern accented voices on the air here in Tulsa, because we've got Spartan School of Aeronautics that was training pilots as fast as they could get the money and push them through. They're up there every day and every night, and before long, you had another class come in and another class, and they're punching them out for, Air Yemen, Saudi Arabian Airlines, Jordanian Airlines, you name it. They were sending pilots through all the time. So they don't have a shortage of pilots. Anybody can get an airplane. If you want to rent one or charter one, you don't even have to get on an airliner. I don't think that we're going to see any of that anymore. I think that was, it's exactly where they want it, and that is a form of mind control that teaches the American people, line up, shut up, get in line, don't give anybody any trouble, show us your ID, step over here, we want to search you, to where we meekly go along like cattle into what I would call a Third Reich atmosphere. After the airports, you know, fallen victim to this, the next thing that's going to happen, we're going to see road checkpoints. Because of a terrorist event someplace, maybe it's biological, maybe it's nuclear, maybe it's chemical, whatever it is, they're going to say, well, we're going to have to start setting checkpoints up for illegal aliens, terrorists, you know, guns and explosives, whatever the excuse is, and we're going to see roadblocks. Once you do that, you know, we war gamed when I was in the military, different scenarios. How do you take a city? Well, a city is very easy to take because all you do is cut off the arteries. And once you cut off the arteries, and no one can go in and out, you cut off the logistics. And once you cut off the logistics, people don't have food. If you control the water supply, you control the population and so on. Everything in every American city now comes from someplace else. Nothing is grown in the city. Nothing's manufactured in the city that's used there. It all comes on what they call just-in-time shipment. No one warehouses anything anymore. They brag about, well, we can get it overnight so we don't have to warehouse it. Well, you can't get it overnight if the trucks can't come in. And if the airports are controlled, the trucks can't come in, the cities are totally cut off, folks, you're under control. If you can't eat, you'll line up and you'll do whatever's necessary to go along with the program. If you can't get good water, you'll go down to the water point with your bucket and you'll get water. Oh, they're there to help you, all right, because the stuff's been contaminated, but the question is, who contaminated it? And so, you know, basically what you have is population control. And then you get over to the far left wing bunch of this crowd, you've got population reduction. And it really gets scary then, because to them, weapons of mass destruction are a good thing, because they want to cut down on the number of people around here. They want to take the world's population and cut it by 80%. And when they had that summit there in San Francisco here a few years back that Gorbachev was at, that lady stood up and said, you know, we have the means to cut the world's population by 80%. We are the riders of the pale horse.
That was Barbara Mark Subbert.
That's exactly who it was. And what is the pale horse? Well, if you go back, pale is green. Green means pestilence in the Greek. And that means biological warfare. So if they're the riders of the pale horse and they have the means, that's a coded message to all the New World Order crowd that, you know, you better get your ducks in gear because we're going to unleash some stuff and we're going to start wiping out the population. I think you are absolutely correct back on the HIV thing because that took out segments of world global population and still is.
And it was targeted really on the blacks and the, you know, people with brown skin, Indians. It's much more prone in Hispanics and blacks. And this is genetically organized, genetically created disease. Why would it target the blacks much more than the whites? Because it was planned that way. I mean, they're not one AIDS epidemic. There are 10 different organisms out there, at least 8 different ones. Where do they all come from spontaneously? Well, I believe that there's a great deal of evidence to show that they came from laboratories. But we can't admit that because the implications are too horrible for the average person to imagine. But where would there be 8 different types of organisms? There's not one, 8, HIV-1, HIV-2. Under HIV-1, there's type O and M. Under M, there's A, B, C, D, E, and F, and maybe a G. So where do they all come from spontaneously at one time? And nobody wants to ask that question.
Oh, I know. It's absolutely incredible. It's just unreal that we have all of this going on. We've got mountains of evidence. We've got mountains of studies. We've got doctors that have stood up and said, hey, this is what's going on. And people, they just want to put their head in the sand, go back to sleep. They don't want to know about it. And, you know, it's like, you know, when I do lectures, I tell people, I says, you know, the majority of the population are sheep. All they want to do is follow, and they want to be left alone. They want green grass to graze in. They walk out of the house. Every day they look up. The sky's blue. The clouds are white. The grass is growing, and the neighbors are waving in it. The world's good to go. No problems. They don't look beyond the edge of the block. They don't look beyond the edge of the city limits. They don't look outside the country. They don't understand that all of this other stuff's going on, and it's headed this way. It's like the boy that cried wolf comes in to the village, and because no one can see the wolf, obviously, you know, it's okay, and he's lying. Well, after about the third or fourth time, there's a real wolf, and everybody's gone to sleep, and the wolf eats them up. That's where we're at right now. I think the government's cried wolf several times. The people have gone to sleep, and the wolf is coming in.
Well, I think it's only a matter of time before some very terrible, terrible things happen to this country, and not only from the point of view of the international terrorist movement, but from a spiritual point of view, because our country has turned against God. It's rejected God in our schools. Even we're rejecting Him in the churches with this new philosophy, this new gospel that we have, and the new music, all of these things. I don't think God's very pleased with America. So if you look at it from a geopolitical point of view, you look at it from a spiritual point of view, America's in real trouble.
Oh, it's you know, I marvel at how many things go on, and then I go and go to church or go to some place where there's a group of people in a restaurant or something like that, and they're just absolutely clueless. It's like, yeah, so what? You know, it didn't happen here. It didn't happen in my neighborhood, so it's really not that important, is it? Because it couldn't happen here. It's never happened here before. It couldn't happen here now. And I thought, you know, people lived on the edge of Mount St. Helens, never had a problem until the thing blew up one day. But then, by then, it's too late. You know, it's what does it take to make a believer out of you?
Well, I think that all we can do, Craig, is continue to talk. You have a voice. I have a voice. Fortunately, I may have a few more people listening to me, you know, through the little network we have. And I always appreciate having you come on and share your experience, because you've been really on the front line of so many of these various issues through the years, and you have so much to share. Well, anyway, of course, you know, as we look and see what's happening, not only do we have, of course, the geopolitical problems, we've got some very real financial problems. We've got the price of oil going up to $52 a barrel, which is going to influence everything that we buy. It's going to really create tremendous problems for not only for our country economically, but for the rest of the world. These people are living on the edge of poverty, and you drive the price of oil up, which is essential for everything that they do as well as everything we do. We can bear it a lot better than they can. I'm really worried that the whole world is going to begin to implode economically here in the very near future.
Well, you know, the oil, I think, also is a means of control, because if the price of your gas goes up, you travel less.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what they want. If you read their plans in the sustainable development syllabus we put forward, which is a summary of the Global Biodiversity Plan, the master plan of the people of great wealth that came out of the second Earth Summit in 1992, they want to get us out of our cars. That's their plan, and what better way to do it than to drive the price of oil so high we can't afford the gasoline? They know exactly what they're doing. But they have to have a war or the terrorists or somebody blame this whole thing on. I believe there's plenty of oil out there, but we've been blocked from developing it. We've been blocked from developing nuclear energy. We've been blocked for drilling for oil. We've been blocked for drilling for natural gas. We've been blocked from putting in our refineries here in the United States. Then everybody wonders why there's an energy shortage.
Well, they know that the trucks have to roll or they're not going to make any money. They know that they're going to make money off of the oil they sell, so they jack the prices up as high as they can. But at the same time, you've got the other half of the equation, where they're saying, we want to keep the average person at home to drive as little as possible. We don't want them to travel. We don't want them to go around. They might see something we don't want them to see. We don't want them to have freedom to go anyplace, and we can't come and just say, okay, you got to stay home. What we'll do is we'll make it so they don't want to go anywhere.
They can't afford to.
They can't afford to. So that'll keep them from driving. Now, they really don't like to fly anymore because of the hassle they get at the airport. That'll keep them from flying. And so, you know, we're reduced now to taking the bus or walking. That's basically where everything's going, or buying a bicycle or a horse. And I think a lot of them are trying to consolidate certain sections of the population in certain population centers and population areas, and keep us from communicating with each other, keep us from migrating back and forth. And seeing what's really going on in this country and comparing notes with other people. When all of our communications are one way, i.e. the television and the radio, basically you can't talk back to it, you can't ask it questions, it tells you what it wants you to know. And so everybody is getting all of their information in 30 minutes of news broadcast on the boob tube. And that's good to go. And then they turn around and they might read the newspaper, where every bit of that is basically been taken over by liberals who never let the truth stand in the way of a good story, in other words. And people don't know how to read between the lines on newspapers, so they read the pablum that's put out to them. And so unless they get some kind of alternative radio or alternative information off the internet, which the mainstream media condemns all over the place as being, you know, written by a bunch of kooks, they're not getting any information outside of what they're being spoon-fed. And that's the way it happened in Germany in the 1930s. It happened in China. It's happened all over the planet, actually. And now we're seeing it here to such a degree that it is so evident. But so many people, it just goes right over their heads, and they're going, well, I don't see anything different. And you talk to them about it, and they call you crazy.
Well, there's a book out, it's called The New Media Monopoly, written by a former head of the Department of Journalism up at Berkeley named Ben Bagdakian. At the present time, five major corporations dominate the American media. That's The New Media Monopoly. We're going to carry the book. We want people to get it, and we want them to understand they're being lied to by the media. That's why programs like this, and of course, the Internet are so vitally important. Craig Roberts, do you have a website? Let's get it out.
Let's go www.riflewarrior.com. That's rifle as in gun, warrior as in soldier, .com. All one word, riflewarrior.com.
And get Craig's material. Get his book, The Medusa File. Get his book, Killzone. I get the book entitled about the Somalia. Thanks so much for being with us, Craig.
Glad to be here.
Bye-bye.
One of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America, our values, our future, are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me mention there is an Institute of the Constitution. It's meeting every Saturday morning over in the Salinas area. And you need, of course, to understand our Constitution if you hope to preserve your freedom. The number to call is 877-448-5798. That's 877-448-5798. And then, of course, I want to mention the all-day-long seminar we're going to be having here at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. That's Saturday, November the 6th. That's just a little over, maybe 4 weeks away. So we hope many of you will be able to come. We've got a great team of speakers coming in, and lunch is going to be served. We're going to be having, of course, Pastor Joe Schimmel talking about how music is being used to change our society, and it really is. Aristotle and Plato said if you could control the music, you could control the society. It is being used. It's an amazing talk. Then, of course, we're going to have Michael Shaw talking about the Program for Sustainable Development and world government. Bill Sardi will be there. I'm going to be talking about the program they have to poison our children. And it is taking place now, and you need to be able to document that. Anyway, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And I hope that many of you will want to come, bring your friends, people that really maybe not be completely certain of what we're saying is right. The information will be there. You bring them. We'll convince them that there's a real problem. That's Saturday, the 6th of November. That's at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. You're going to have a reservation, though. And the number to call is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. I think it'll be a great time. It's going to start about, 8:45 in the morning. Going to go through to 5:00 in the evening. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and, of course, I wanted to mention Craig Roberts' books again. That's The Medusa File, Kill Zone, and Doorway to Hell, Disaster in Somalia. And I believe Craig wrote the foreword to that, but it's written by a close friend of his who lives very, very close. It's written by a general whose family actually fought in Somalia, and it goes into the background of the true story of the Black Hawk Down incident. And then, of course, you really have to understand how we have financed our enemies all through the years, how we financed the North Vietnamese during the Second World War, how we financed communism going back to 1918, how we financed Adolf Hitler. I tell the books, of course, are first of all, the best enemies money could buy. We have a video by the same name. It's an interview I did with Professor Sutton before he passed away, but it's an excellent overview of how we financed our enemies through the years. And then we, of course, carry Professor Sutton's book, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. But, of course, the basic book on this whole story is The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, the video, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. And then, of course, if you have not yet heard my video, Iraq, the Untold Story, you need to get the video. You need to get the syllabus because it has a little documentation. You get the two of them together, you get a special price on that. But you must understand how they lied to the American people about the sinking of the ship in the harbor at Havana, sinking of the Maine in Havana in 1898. It was all a lie to get us into the Spanish-American War. How they lied to the American people about German atrocities to get us into the First World War. How they lied to the American people about prior knowledge of Pearl Harbor. How they lied to the American people about the fact that Japanese had been trying to surrender for 6 months and we wouldn't let them. And it's all documented in the syllabus. You'll see many of the original documents and letters. How we were actually, American corporations were creating the weapons for Adolf Hitler. American corporations in Germany, and they couldn't make any money out of it because there were exchange controls. It's a letter sent by the American ambassador to Colonel House in 1936. We created the best enemy. Money could buy. And of course, over 40 million people died in that terrible, terrible war. And then, of course, it gets into Vietnam. They lied about the Gulf of Tonkin. There wasn't any Gulf of Tonkin incident. And we talk about the 58,000 American boys who died, and that's terrible. But what about the million South Vietnamese and the 2 million North Vietnamese? And are they unimportant? Are their lives any less important than anybody else's lives? For every one of them is a unique individual, made in the image and likeness of God. And they lied about Kuwait, where we actually encouraged Saddam Hussein, who had been financing and actually helped him build up his military. And there's a wonderful book I just got from Joyce Riley. It's called The Spider's Web, How We Financed Saddam Hussein. But we even have a clipping we'll send any of you out of the Washington Post. It's a very good clipping, how we financed him, how we gave him the weapons of mass destruction, that wicked Saddam Hussein, how we created this best enemy, our money and technology could buy. If you want that free article, we'll send it to you. You should go get my syllabus and get the video. Get the information. Help us disseminate it across America. Go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. We have some items there. We carry the big Berkey units. We carry Sanjian radios. We carry the Robinson Holmes curriculum. All of these things help us, to do what we do 5 hours a day. Of course, we hope that many of you out there will seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, as that's how we're able to do what we do, and we're really primarily dependent on those of you who believe in what we're doing. After all, is America worthwhile fighting for, struggling for, working for, to preserve? And if America's lost, what will happen to you? Well, then, of course, we remind you once again of the all-day-long meeting on the 6th of November, a seminar at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course here on the North Shore of Monterey Bay, close to Santa Cruz. If you're across the country, we can tell you how to get here and where to stay. And then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and ministers, but please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you. Thank you.